From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Another showdown at the United Nations Security Council on Wednesday over the so-called Skripal poisoning case in Salisbury in the UK. Wednesday's session began with a report from Izumi Nakamitsu, the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs at the UN, who summarized new information about the March 4th incident in Salisbury, which she had received from the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons, or OPCW. Blood samples taken from the victims, including the Russian nationals Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, and from the environment at the site, confirmed the UK's findings regarding the identity of the toxic chemicals. However, it was emphasized that OPCW had assigned no responsibility for the incident and cautioned against casting blame without evidence. This was the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs, Izumi Nakamitsu, at the UN Security Council Wednesday.
Thank you for the invitation to brief you on the incident in Salisbury in the United Kingdom on 4th of March 2018. As I have no independent information on this issue, I will be conveying information kindly provided by the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, or OPCW. Mr. President, the Council has met previously to discuss the 4th of March incident in Salisbury involving a toxic chemical, allegedly a nerve agent, and the poisoning and hospitalization of three individuals as a result. As you are therefore aware, and as part of its response to this incident, the United Kingdom requested technical assistance from the OPCW Technical Secretariat under Article 8 of the Chemical Weapons Convention. This article states that the OPCW Secretariat shall provide technical assistance and technical evaluation to states parties in the implementation of the provisions of the Convention, including evaluation of scheduled and unscheduled chemicals. Accordingly, the OPCW Director General decided to dispatch a team to the United Kingdom for a technical assistance visit, or TAV. The TAV team deployed to the United Kingdom on 19th March for a pre-deployment and from 21 to 23 March for a full deployment. In the course of its work, the team received information on the medical conditions of the three individuals affected and collected blood samples from those individuals under full chain of custody for delivery to the OPCW laboratory and subsequent analysis by OPCW-designated laboratories. In addition to these activities, the TAV team conducted on-site sampling of environmental samples, again under full chain of custody. The team also requested and received splits of samples taken by British authorities for comparative purposes and to verify the analysis of the United Kingdom. The team was briefed on the toxic chemical that had been identified by the United Kingdom and reviewed analytical results and data from chemical analysis of biomedical samples collected by United Kingdom authorities from the affected individuals, as well as from environmental samples collected on site. The OPCW has since stated that the results of analysis of biomedical samples conducted by OPCW-designated laboratories demonstrate the exposure of the three affected individuals to this toxic chemical. In addition, the results of analysis of the environmental samples conducted by OPCW-designated laboratories demonstrated the presence of this toxic chemical in the samples. Finally, the results of analysis by the OPCW-designated laboratories of environmental and biomedical samples collected by the OPCW TAV team confirmed the findings of the United Kingdom relating to the identity of the toxic chemical that was used on 4th of March in Salisbury. The TAV team has noted that the toxic chemicals in question was of high purity. Mr. President, based on the results of the sample analysis by four OPCW-designated laboratories, the OPCW Technical Secretariat prepared a report containing and elaborating on the information I just shared. This report was transmitted to the United Kingdom and, upon the request of the United Kingdom, to all other states' parties of the CWC on 12th of April. The OPCW has also prepared and made publicly available a summary of this report. Speaking today at a meeting of the OPCW Executive Council, the Director General underscored that the reliability and technical capabilities of the OPCW designated laboratories have been subject to close and rigorous scrutiny over the years. He added that states parties to the Chemical Weapons Convention can be assured of the credibility and integrity of this network. He further noted that the work of the TAV in relation to this incident was carried out independently by the OPCW without involvement or support of other states parties and that it was not part of the United Kingdom's own internal investigation. Mr. President, distinguished members of the Council, the Secretary General has expressed his deep concern by the assessment that a nerve agent was employed in a targeted manner aimed at inflicting harm or death. The Secretary General has also, on many occasions, expressed his support for the work of the OPCW. In this regard, he welcomed the request by the United Kingdom to independently verify the toxic chemical that was used in this incident. The use of nerve agents or any other chemical weapons by any party under any circumstances is unacceptable and a serious violation of international law. I thank you very much for your attention.
That report from the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs of the UN, Izumi Nakamitsu, was followed by comments from the permanent representative of the UK, who said the report supported her own government's findings that a nerve agent had been identified, and that although the report had not identified the country nor laboratory of origin, only Russia had the means, technical experience, and motive to target the Skripals. Russia's permanent representative, Vasily Nebenzia, rejected those allegations, emphasizing that the OPCW report revealed the toxic substances could have been produced in the Russian Federation, the United States, or a host of other countries. This was Ambassador Nebenzia at the UN Security Council on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, we heard the same selection of baseless accusations, now underpinned allegedly by the authority of the OPCW. I will state right away that the OPCW report has nothing that would help the British to substantiate their mendacious version about Russian involvement in the incident in Salisbury. What is most important that is not included there, and which the United Kingdom is so keen to see, is the conclusion that the substance used in Salisbury was made in Russia. On the contrary, the promptness of the analysis conducted by the OPCW only confirms that such a substance could be produced in any laboratory equipped with the relevant equipment. For to conduct a comparative analysis, is necessary to have a standard for this toxic compound. And there are such laboratories, both on UK soil, in Portland Down, and in the United States, and in a host of other countries. The formula for the substance has been known from 1998, when it was incorporated in the database of the U.S. Army
Edgewood Chemical Biological Center. Center for Defense Research and Equipment of the U.S. Army and Development. Moreover, as a result of following a search on Google Patents, looking at the keyword Novichok, one can find more than 140 patents issued in the U.S. alone related to the use and protection from exposure of this toxic chemical. From the incident in Salisbury on 4 March, a month and 2 weeks have already passed. However, in this history, this is a story with white stains that is threaded together with white thread, and there is no lessening in such white stains and thread. On the contrary, they are proliferating with stunning speed. For us, such conduct by London is not transparent. Today, during the Executive Council of the OPCW session, a UK representative whose statement, as is customary, was based on lies and misinformation as to the motivations, methods, and uses by the Russian, means by the Russian Federation, once again stated that Russia has a proven record of conducting state-sponsored assassination. My question is as follows. Proven by whom? Of course, there were subsequent abundant references to the Litvinenko case with arguments on the basis of a new word in British jurisprudence. President Putin probably approved of it.
The Russian state may have been involved. The Russian state may have sponsored. There have been numerous suspected Russian state-sponsored attacks.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything that we are hearing and seeing today is deja vu. We have already experienced this with the poisoning of Litvinenko in that case. Complete lack of transparency by the British side, which continues to conceal any and all documentary information that could help to put together an integral picture of what took place at that point with Litvinenko. For those who are unaware, I will inform you, the United Kingdom has simply classified this information. Modus operandi of London, nor was an exception the report from the Technical Assistance OPCW group dating 12 April. In the open part of this document, which is 1.5 pages, in the open part, the British barred experts of the organization from even mentioning the type of technical assistance that was requested, but even from naming the toxic chemical that Portland Down identified. This is all information which London preferred to conceal in the closed, in the confidential part of the report, the discussions of which in an open format of a council meeting would constitute a breach of the OPCW's rules of confidentiality. For what purpose was this done? That is clear to us. Well, if a British fails to grant the right for members of council to discuss what they took the liberty of including in the substantive part of the report, then let us discuss what is not included there. What is not included there, above all, is any mention of the Russian Federation. And this aligns with the conclusions we previously heard from Portland Down. There is not the slightest indication of any information as to the fact that Sergei and Yuri Skripal were contaminated, nor about Nicholas Bailey. Nor is there any information about the history of their illness, nor is there any information on the methods for their treatment. You won't find any explanation there as to how the toxic chemical, which, according to the alleged creator of it, Vladimir Zayanov, is highly unstable in liquid form, could be discovered in high concentration nearly 3 weeks after the incident. Nor is there any mention there as to why this substance is allegedly 10 times more deadly than VX. This substance could have an impact on some victims after 7 hours pass and other victims instantaneously. And why then? Thank God, the effects were not deadly. Perhaps Mirzayanov and Portland Down are talking about different toxic chemicals. Moreover, you will not find in this report any coherent explanation as to how, in the blood samples of one of the patients taken 18 days after contact, an undecayed toxic chemical was not discovered, established by Portland Down, and the other victim who received a more potent contamination, with that victim we did not see the same. This picture is not only characteristic for nerve agents, but it also may indirectly point to the fact that, with high likelihood, it is highly likely that prior to the collecting of samples of the toxic chemical in Portland Down, the blood of the victim was injected when he entered an artificial coma, in connection with which there was no time for him to enter engage in a biochemical reaction. As a result, an important question begs to be asked. 5 April, the permanent representative of the United Kingdom, when I quoted Boris Johnson with respect to the presence of samples in Portland Down of A234, responded, alleging that the United Kingdom has the right to conduct an investigation for protective purposes. Perhaps distinguished Portland Down experts researched and have this and other toxic chemicals which are not included in the relevant OPCW list. I believe that in preparing reports of the Scientific and Consultative Council of the Technical Secretariat of the OPCW for the fourth review conference of the Chemical Weapons Convention, that would be the time, high time, for the Portland Town experts to provide the scientific world with information about their research into A234 for protective purposes and possibly other toxic chemicals which pose a threat to the purposes and principles of the convention. But let's not harbor illusions. The conduct selected by the United Kingdom for the Salisbury incident clearly points to the fact that this will not be done. In a professional discussion, the UK and allies are not at all interested in conducting a professional discussion, and professional chemists and experts continue to cast doubt as time goes by as to the official version provided by the British. Mr. President, unfortunately, a subjective interpretation by London of the provisions of the OPCW cannot but give rise to questions. For example, the British consistently refers to the fact that its national investigation is ongoing in line with Para 1 of Article 7 of the Convention. The justification of such a reference would be proper if not one but. Such an investigation pertains solely to physical and legal individuals which are under United Kingdom jurisdiction. I believe it should be perhaps clarified that Russia is not under UK jurisdiction, and this goes without saying. Hence, we would request that the United Kingdom introduce some clarity. Downing Street's statements about alleged Russian involvement in the incident in Salisbury is an attempt to exert political pressure on the investigation, or is it a final conclusions of Scotland Yard's investigation, or is this normal under the British legal system for the government to identify perpetrators and subsequently the investigative bodies to tailor their investigation to fit that conclusion? Once again, I stress, any doubts vis-a-vis in good faith compliance by a state party with obligations of the convention need to be settled in line with Article 9. And what they must. There is no other meaning for the word shall or should. They shall or should, and we know of no other definition for the word. We would be grateful for those with English as a mother tongue to provide clarification as to when such words will not be mandatory in nature, and would be very constructive. This would be very constructive for further practical work here at the Council. Given that our repeated proposals to London to begin to cooperate and engage under Article 9 have been ignored, and the request of the Russian Federation's Prosecutor General to provide legal assistance on criminal affairs in line with Para 2 of Article 7 have been left without response, we have no other choice but ourselves to initiate a request under Para 2 of Article 9 with a list of questions for the United Kingdom on the 4 March incident in Salisbury. The relevant note was submitted on 13 April by the U.S. Permanent Mission in The Hague to the British through the OPCW Technical Secretariat. In connection with the above mentioned, in light of the above mentioned, we believe that the General Director of the Technical Secretariat of the OPCW to adopt measures to reinforce the Chemical Weapons Convention needs to prepare for and introduce for the next Executive Council meeting in line with Para 5 of the relevant convention, a draft resolution providing for amendments to the chemicals annexed to the list. This decision would not only lead to an official classification of A234 as a chemical warfare agent, but it would also take it and its precursors and put it under the systematic oversight and control of the OPCW. This is what should have long ago been done by those countries who apparently had all of the relevant information for this, including samples of this toxic chemical, and not to exploit the OPCW and Security Council to disseminate their groundless allegations against the Russian Federation in breach, allegations of breaching obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention. Mr. President, it is no secret to the information campaign and actually the war that has been unleashed by the British authorities against the Russian Federation on the so-called Skripal case. The norms of international law are being flouted. The rules are being flouted. The principles and laws of diplomacy are being breached. Good common sense is being disregarded. Basic courtesies are being undermined. Against the backdrop of deafening silence by British competent authorities on the essence of the case and the abundant politically hued statements from the very beginning which were targeted against Russia, new versions continue to surface. Deafening inconsistencies are surfacing. There are plantings and blatant misinformation which London does not even intend to refute in any way. We see the red herring. And now there is a calculation that the cacophony with baseless accusations and references to distinguished organizations as the OPCW, which allegedly fully confirmed the British conclusions, and then it is not said what is said as to Russian involvement. Once again, I state that this is a complete lie. States and societies will not ascertain the nuances of chemical analysis and the numerous inconsistencies in the accusations that have been advanced. As Churchill said, there is no public opinion. There is only published opinion. And the British and allies have no problems with disseminating their mendacious allegations and smearing them over the media outlets. The British put two questions to us. We put 47 questions to the British. Here they are. Partial responses were provided for two of them. There are no responses to those questions which we put during the previous Security Council meeting on this issue held 5 April. We will have more questions. We promised that we will not step away from this. We will continue. In order to familiarize ourselves with a scientific and factual side of this, we will familiarize you with a statement of Russian representatives during the 59th session of the OPCW, as well as the chronology of the sequence events which was put together by our embassy in London. At the same time, we will circulate this statement as well. And this, at the same time, the British authorities are quietly seeking to eliminate any traces of evidence and material evidence or proof. The household pets have been destroyed from their home. Clearly, there were no samples taken from them. The places are being cleared. The places visited by Skripals, a bar, restaurant, a bench, and the park area where they were, and other areas. And at the same time, Ordinary civilians continued to reside in Salisbury as if nothing took place. Yulia Skripal is, her whereabouts are unknown. There is no consular access being provided for a Russian citizen. Let me recall that neither Julia nor Sergei has been seen by anybody since 4 March. At the same time, against Russian citizens, a crime was perpetrated. There was an attempted murder with traces, with indicators that this may have been a terrorist in nature. I wish once again to reaffirm our position in principle. We will not accept the results of any national or international investigations without familiarizing ourselves with the whole body of information, be it information from the criminal investigation or full technical reports from the laboratories, without exercise of our right to consular access to Russian citizens, and most importantly, without direct participation of Russian experts in all operations related to shedding light on what took place 4 March in Salisbury. And the only thing that is clear to us right now is that London continues to conceal information which is critical to establish the truth, and it will not accept any degree of transparency in this matter. Once again, the British Embassy distinguished itself in Moscow recently. It put forward the following sensational information. Approximately the same was put forward by the UK representative at the OPCW and the permanent representative of the United Kingdom to the United Nations in today's letter to the Secretary General. First, in the past 10 years, Russia has produced and stockpiled Novichok. Second, Russia conducted an investigation on the use of chemical warfare agents for murders. Third, Russian intelligence beginning in 2013 has focused its interest on Sergei Skripal. This is genius. I applaud you. The question is as follows. Why is this all necessary? And the responses are banal in their clarity. This is an attempt to slander Russian principle and to cast doubt on its legitimacy and its role on the international stage. I said not for naught that Salisbury and Duma are interrelated, firstly, due to the fact that both are provocations. Second, due to the fact that both are being linked to Russia. This is an unscrupulous, dirty anti-Russian provocation aimed at deepening the divide between Russia and the European Union, which apparently is especially timely for the UK on the eve of Brexit. And that is the substance of the matter. To conclude, Mr. President, apparently the time has arrived to delve into classics. To William, of course, our Shakespeare, who in Henry VI, the play, said, "Suspicion always haunts the guilty mind." But perhaps we should attempt to package up the suspicions nicely. Otherwise, it is not convincing. And honestly, we feel bad for you. We will eagerly await the continuation of this very interesting series. If the British drags its feet with new information, or providing new information, or with such sensation in the spirit of what was referred to, then we ourselves reserve the right to call such a meeting. Do not think that you can hide behind poisonous falsification of your lies and conjecture. The technical assistance OPCW mission is not, we're not done with the technical mission of the OPCW. We will continue to demand the full picture of the facts. Of course, there's chemistry in this whole issue, from the word being sly and cunning. So in Russian, химичить is the word. Chemistry is химия, химичить. And you did dig yourselves this hole, and it's quite good. We see how cunning you are. We agree with you on one point. There will be no impunity. And the perpetrators for the provocation must be held accountable. Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.